We've got some fresh new young talent doing some things that I know you haven't heard before.
1, 2, 3.
Listen. So welcome. We're here with Coach Jesse Miller. We're here to talk about some NCAA action that happened this last weekend. Jesse, thanks for being with us again.
Great to be here.
So first game we had up, let's talk about the Albany-Yale game. You know, two top five teams. That was in what was a kind of surprising result, at least maybe for some people. You know, Yale used a huge second half run after leading only at 7-5 at one point in the third quarter. And after that, it was all Yale. So what did you see as the keys for Yale in the game?
So it was a pretty interesting game. Yale got off to a 3-0 start, so they came out pretty quick. And then Connor Fields actually had a nice feed in the beginning to make it 3-1, but then with about a little less than 5 minutes in the first quarter, he hurt his knee on a play, so he was pretty much done for the day after that. So that he left when the game was 3-1. And Connor Fields, for those of you who don't know, is an absolute stud. He had an assist in that game, so including that assist, he has 344 career points, and that's, I think, fourth all-time, so, and he's right on the doorstep to getting second, and there was even a chance that he might have been able to beat out Thompson, who has, like, 400, I think, and he played at Albany as well. But anyway, so it was 7-3 at the end of the first half, and, you know, with Yale having the lead. And then I think the story of the game was a couple things. One, Connor getting hurt really hurt Albany because they weren't able to have that dynamic of, you know, working with Nanacoke and Connor Fields to, you know, create that unbelievable offense that they have. And the other thing was Connor Mackey absolutely dominated faceoff for Yale, and going into the game, Albany was pretty much the top faceoff team in the country. So, and Mackey's no slouch either. Like, he got drafted by the New York Lizards, and he's going to go and play potentially in the MLL. So, I mean, but he just had a day. So those two things right there are really what, you know, propelled Yale along. And as you said, as you alluded to, it was 7-5 at one point in the third quarter after Albany scored a man-up goal. But then John Danangelis, he's a really good player, by the way. He's number 4 for Yale. He had a goal. I'm not sure how many points he ended up with, but he had a goal in the first half, but then he scored the go-ahead 8-5 goal for Yale, and then Yale just went on the run. They scored the 9th goal, they scored the 10th goal, they scored the 11th goal, they scored the 12th goal, they scored the 13th goal. Before you know it, was 13-5 Yale with like 10.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then the game was virtually over at that point. One thing I did notice was after Fields left, by the way, Yale has this freshman defenseman, Chris Fake. He's a, like I said, he's a freshman from the Hunt School in Princeton, New Jersey, and he's just an animal. He was guarding Fields to begin with, who's like a more shifty, you know, quick player, change direction guy. And then when Fields went down, he switched over to Nanacoke, who's, you know, just a beast, like 235 pounds, like bigger guy, like barrels in you, and he's able to play both those types of guys. And so it was just, you know, they had these players, and then so after Fields went down, what I was saying is, you know, Nanacoke would kind of like fall in love with the ball a few times, and they would just swarm him and just, you know, double team him after, you know, Fake was already playing good D, and then before you know, the ball was on the ground. And then Yale's got at least six guys who can score the goal, like, who can score. I mean, it's pretty impressive. So,
Yeah, so you mentioned Connor Fields' injury. We left the game. I believe it was he'd strained his MCL. So obviously, you know, huge factor for Albany. How much? What do you think their Albany's chances are making a playoff run in case Fields isn't able to come back?
Well, with this loss, they're going to be most likely out of the top four seeds in the NCAA tournament, I think. We'll see how it all shapes out. But, I mean, you saw his injury, and it wasn't – he was actually just – he kind of fell down when he was making a move, like, not necessarily against the guy. So I think he's going to be back. Like, he played – he was out for a month, and he played the Friday before this game against Binghamton. And I think they were kind of just being pretty cautious just because he's so good and they didn't want to risk it. And maybe they were even willing to sacrifice this game just because in the grand scheme of things, it's not a league game, you know, that sort of thing. So I do think he's going to be back, and I think he'll be, you know, a contributor. If he's not back, it's a – horrible blow. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, there's as much as you can try to, like, you know, go with the flow and do whatever, it's not good. So hopefully it comes back just to see. I like to see Kings play, you know, at their full potential, and having him back, not to mention, I mean, he could go on a tear and score 10 points and be second all-team leader ever in points. So I do think he's going to be back. I think they're just being cautious. And, like, if you saw the play, it wasn't like he was kind of just making, like, a little juke on his own before he was, like, going into a pick situation and he fell. So we'll see what happens. So,
yeah.
Time will tell.
So it's probably – he's probably going to be, you know, taking some time off, like you mentioned, but maybe he'll probably be coming back. So do you think any time off should hurt his Tuorton chances?
Well, there's several guys in the mix right now. There's him, there's Pete from Cornell, there's Ben Reeves from Yale, there's Connor Kelly from Maryland. I think that the committee makes their decision before Final Four weekend, so I'm not sure who has the lead right now. I mean, obviously, him missing all the time that he's already missed is hurt. I mean, if he played, he'd probably have – he would already be, you know, probably the second career all-time leader in points if he didn't miss over a month of his senior season. But if he was healthy all year round, it'd be one thing. I don't know. Time, I'm not sure. I mean, it's not gonna help him, because he would have more points, but who knows what will happen with that. It's tough to say, you know.
Yeah, so another Tuorton finalist, who's on the watch list, I guess, is Ben Reeves at Yale. And he had a big day against the Albany defense, 3 goals and an assist. What kind of matchup problems can he create for opposing teams?
It's pretty awesome to watch, actually, because, like, when he's going, the defense is – absolutely all their attention is on him. So I actually have, like, a little YouTube video that I put out on my BTB Live channel that I just pulled a few clips that I'm going to put out later this week of just how, like, if he's dodging from one side of GLE, like, he can just draw literally 6 helmets, like, looking at him, with the opposing helmets looking at him. And he's got such good vision that he can just pump the ball, like, over the top, you know, skip pass and just dodge goal. And they, you know, has, like, very, very talented other players as well. They have Alessi, who's a midfielder who I love, who also plays football. They have, you know, they have like, 5 other solid dudes who can score. Dana Jones, who I talked about, who scored, you know, a couple goals in the Albany game. And then they have, like, very good attackmen as well. So, I mean, they have those players. And the best thing about Reed is, like, he's a stud himself, or you might think he hasn't doubled, but he skips out of it, and before you know it, he manages to slip on past the goalie because he's just a very athletic kid and good-sized kid and coordinated and athletic. And so, I mean, he poses – Yale offense is on, which they have been as of the last, you know, several games, you know, Brown, Albany, they're scary. And maybe this is the year that they make their, you know, push to the championship weekend. I mean, that's what the announcers are talking about during the Albany game for sure. So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, another great matchup was the Ohio State versus Maryland game, a rematch of the national championship game last year. You know, Ohio State able to get revenge on the game last year with a 12-10 win over the Terps. What did you see as some of the – what were your initial impressions with that game?
So, again, just pretty fun game to kind of dive into and research a little bit. It was senior day at Maryland, nice day, home game. They were the number one team in the country. I don't think that they took Ohio State lightly, even though going into the game they were a 500 ball club. I'm sure they were prepping for them, knowing them that they had, you know, basically their season was on the line. If Ohio State loses, they're done, you know. You know, as you said, like being in the national championship the year before, they have very good players. They have a very young team for the most part with some older personnel as well. Colin Chell from Boys Latin, who's a senior, who's had a day. I think he had four goals or something like that. And one of the things that Maryland does struggle with is kind of that invert defense. So I know that they've been working on it, because I heard the announcers talk about it, and then also I was talking to Christian Sweezy, who writes for Inside the Cross, and he was kind of telling me about it a little bit as well, how Maryland was really trying to focus on that. And one thing with Colin Chell is he was able to – he's kind of been having a quiet senior year. I think going into the game he had 7 goals total, but in this particular game I think he had 4, and he was just able to find those seams, get those passes up top, and then – they were able to shoot and hit their targets early in the game, which is huge. And I think that goes, that's so important with teams across the board, because you can be just, you know, half a ball or a ball, you know, off, and that can either take you from being, you know, 5 for 20 to, or 5 for 20, I guess would be good. It could take you from like 1 to 20 to being 5 for 20 or something like that, or 6 or 7 for 20, before you know it, you have, you know, 6 or 7 more goals. So, but the thing that I noticed right off the bat was Ohio State does have a very good defense. They are a young team. They came out, you know, with their season on the line. They got off to an early 3-0 lead. Maryland was able to get it back to 3-3, and then it was a ball game for a while, and then going into the second half, Ohio State had another 3-goal run, so they, you know, were able to, you know, get it out, get another lead, but then Maryland came back, and then there was a period of time in the fourth quarter where Maryland's offense just wasn't really clicking. Connor Kelly wasn't able to get a shot off in, I think, something like 11 minutes, and he's an absolute stud, and they pulled it out, and now their season's still alive, and they can, you know, do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned that period in the fourth quarter where, you know, Maryland had trouble getting shots off. So the Ohio State goalie, Josh Kirsten, he picked up, I think, 7 of his 9 saves in the third and fourth quarters. How much of an impact was he, or do you attribute that mostly to his defense?
I think it was both. I think they were feeling it, and he was seeing the ball well. The defense was playing well. And the defense as a whole, including the goalie, like, played great in the fourth quarter. Like, they were able to limit Connor Kelly from getting goals and just were able to, you know, give themselves a chance to win. And then it was just good all around, really. And like I said, Ohio State now has the season still alive, and they have opportunity to make the Big Ten tournament and make some noise. I mean, just goes to show you how close everything is, especially the Big Ten. Like, that league is tough. tough. Like, Penn State's good, Rutgers is good, Ohio State's good, Michigan's not bad, Maryland's obviously Maryland. I mean, it's just tough. And even to make that conference tournament is a challenge, not to mention making the tournament. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
We talked about last week about Penn State and how they look great over Hopkins, and I didn't even mention Hopkins. And then this week, Rutgers needed that win more than anything, and they got it. So just, you know, it's kind of like 2 years ago when North Carolina made their run in the playoffs. They weren't even, they were on the road the entire time. And these teams are just, you got to make the tournament, and then once you make the tournament, if you can get some momentum, then you can ride the momentum for a while, and just anything can happen. Especially if you're playing well. If you're not playing well at all, like, I think that that's obviously a deficit. It's not going to be a good recipe. Like, for instance, a couple weeks ago, Brown was kind of rolling, and then lately, you know, they got shelled by Yale, and they got shelled by Cornell. I think they're still in the hunt a little bit. You know, if they beat Dartmouth, they might make the Ivy League tournament, but you want to, like, try to go into these tournaments, these conference tournaments, and these NCAA tournaments on the momentum. And if Ohio State can make the Big Ten and get a win there, then they might get an at-large. If they win the Big Ten, then they get an automatic. And then once they're in the tournament, they can be like, hey, we were here last year. We won the national championship. Let's go. You know, so it's pretty exciting stuff, like how quickly it can all, like, change and shift. If you're at that initial level, like, you have to be at that level to start. So, and there's, like, several teams that are at that level.
Yeah, it should be exciting to see how the NCAA playoffs all shake out. Well, hey, Jesse, thanks for being on the podcast. We look forward to hearing from you next week.